What's it like to be a practicing Muslim and a practicing physician in the United States? Dr. Ralph Amir is a clinical professor of medicine and nephrology at the University of Missouri Kansas City School of Medicine. And he talks about it in this edition of the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. Dr. Amir, talk to us about how your faith influences you as an individual and as a physician.
Well, I am not a scholar on my faith, but certainly a humble believer and try to live it as best as I can, and I'm required to learn as I go along. The one thing, as I got into medicine, was a pleasure to find out that the ethics of my faith are pretty much as if an ethicist wrote it for medicine. So I, all along the way, never did find any problem. The major first thing, when I got in nephrology back in early 70s, when nephrology was a very new field, the question of is transplant okay was being discussed in the faith. And fortunately, given the background and necessary knowledge, the answer was yes. So, but I've never had any problem dealing with this. And I must quickly add, since I have done nephrology for 37 years with patients on chronic dialysis and, of course, transplant and other problems, to put people on chronic dialysis and then to withdraw dialysis can be a major, major problem, both in ethics and emotions and whatnot. I have been very comfortable. And in fact, I had to tell my staff to watch over me. I don't want to be going overboard, because I did not hesitate to go for palliative care for patients rather than continue what looked like a ride of an ambulance from dialysis unit to the place they were, a nursing home, back and forth without them ever knowing what's going on, and et cetera.
So as a man of faith and as a physician who is a man of faith, that do you believe that made you a better doctor? Did it have you think, or perhaps be more considerate or sensitive to different issues?
Two things I can say very quickly. One, I believe a human being, a student who does study of anatomy and physiology of a human being and then does not believe in a deity, some entity other than we humans, I think something's wrong, but that's me personally. That's one. Number two, as I mentioned before, we, as following the faith, we're required to be students for a lifetime. And as I was studying medicine and looking more in my faith, I was only delighted to see that all the ethics and everything else was reinforcing what I was learning and gave me a very clear picture as to where and how I can deal with issues. And over the years has really stood by me and done a lot better for me. Besides the technicality of medicine, what I learned from the faith.
I've discussed this with other individuals over the years on this program, and how, as a matter of faith, if you present yourself as an individual of faith, or if you ask a patient to pray with you, or if a patient would ask you to pray, would you agree to pray with that individual?
I have had never problems either praying with or for. However, there have been some limits. For example, there are certain use of certain things in certain faiths that one would refrain from. But I think the best thing would be, for example, to ask a patient, how can I help you? How can I help you in this, rather than start praying and using whatever background I or somebody else may come from. I've spoken with our clergy staff and really made this point very clear, rather than coming to Muslims now, particularly, rather than just go ahead and start praying in the name of and et cetera, it's best to say, how can I help you to lead yourself in your faith and or complete what needs to be done? And then let things flow, but not assume that this is the way or that's the way. More importantly, to recognize others' faith and respect them for it and not be judgmental. It doesn't matter what that is, or maybe no faith.
There have been some conflicts over the last decades with the Islamic faith And so there may be some a little bit of hesitation among the part of some people if they know that they were being treated by a physician who is a Muslim. Did you ever run into that? Or am I just kind of making that up?
No, you're quite correct. I've heard of cases. In fact, I have read of cases. In my case, very, very fortunately, it was never a problem. I can tell you on 9/11, which might be the specific day to talk about, I come home and I see flowers and cookies and cakes and wonder what's going on here with all the friends and neighbors. I had no idea why they would do that. I got calls from friends I hadn't in years. So, no, I've been very fortunate. There's never been a question. I was very fortunate to have good bedside manners, and that has come a long way in helping me to be hopefully a good physician, a good friend, and a good educator. It didn't matter what my faith was. I never did impose on anybody, nor did I let the other person's faith sway me from my ethics and my faith.
You talked earlier about how within the Muslim community years ago there was the question about transplant. And there are other controversial issues, too, that are somewhat religious in nature. So, for example, say around questions of abortion or reproductive technologies. Where does the Muslim faith come down on questions like that?
Well, it's an excellent question to begin with. Let me just again say a word about transplant. Which is perhaps the most recent out of the ones you mentioned, by recent meaning 30-some years old as opposed to longer. In transplant,
well, I was trying to give you a break.
Yes.
30 years.
Well, quickly, the principle that really helps the scholars to deal with new issues is that the benefit will overrule what is prohibited otherwise. Let me just give examples. In our faith, one is required to bury a person intact without desecration of the body. However, if it was medically legally necessary, autopsy would be okay. If it would be helpful to society as it is, then donation is okay. Now, coming then quickly to about abortion, the way our faith looks at abortion is that it's a big no-no, much like in Catholicism, except when it is necessary for the mother's life, or and the conception was out of wedlock, like rape, etc., but not as a means of family planning. That would be a no-no. There are, family planning itself is not prohibited, but the other means, but not the abortion. What other do we talk about very clearly? About the technology. There is nothing to keep a Muslim from using what our technology provides in helping with conceiving a child, etc. However, it is to be the mother's uterus and father's sperm, not borrowed from grandmother or from some stud down the street from some bank. It's within the confines of marriage. One couldn't preserve, for example, an ovum or sperm, and after death of the spouse, then use it. No, because marriage basically ends with the death of a person, so that ovum or that sperm would have to be wasted, not be used for a baby to be in that setting.
We're recording this at around the time of this controversy over an Obama administration rule on paying for contraceptives and abortions and issues like that, which in the Christian community, especially the Catholic community, is something that's very controversial. As a Muslim, how do you view that controversy?
Well, basically, the faith does not look down upon sexual needs of a human being. However, requires it to be within the confines of marriage. So there is no idea of pre, post, or para marital sexual activity. So the use of whatever agents might be used would be within the confines of marriage. And then we are right. So the controversy is within, it would be if it was to be used away from that, because that would be un-Islamic, would be against the faith. So faith really limits the procreation within the married life of the couple.
Another issue that we pay attention to here a lot at the center, of course, is around aging and end of life and the withdrawal of life-sustaining treatment. Another issue that we pay a lot of attention to. Are there any particular tenets associated with those issues within the Muslim faith?
Yes. Let me first say the famous saying of the Prophet of Islam is that out of the things that God loves to be asked is granting of good health or recovery from disease. So that one is required to look for the best cure in terms of restoring health. However, there is very clear understanding that wasting of a resource is a sin. So that if a person had reached a level of in life where there was no hope of further meaningful survival and had to be typically, like I would say, certified by two professionals so that to the satisfaction of the loved ones, at that point there is actually encouragement to withdraw support. Even it means ventilator, dialysis, what have you. There is no shame, no sin. In fact, the sin may be if one is wasting the resource of the community. Although you could afford it, that doesn't matter. It could be better used by somebody else. So withdrawing and withholding is no problem. There are two caveats. One is taking full care of pain, so it's a painless process, and the dignity. Dignity of the individual is very high at all levels of medical care and life in general, and certainly if it comes to withdrawal of care.
A final question then. If you had the opportunity, and perhaps you have, with younger physicians, physicians who are at the beginning of their career and they are Muslim, would you have any thoughts for them, any kind of words of wisdom, if we want to call it that?
Well, being an old man, I said,
well,
I semi-qualify, but not because of wisdom, age. Well, to young physicians, I think my faith or any faith, and the last slide I typically show when I speak on this topic in a live audience is where we, it's a direct quote from the Holy Book, Quran, which says, "O God, increase me in my knowledge." And the word would be, do not ever think that you know it all. Look for, study, ask, and coming back to the faith and medicine, a Muslim would be delighted that the ethics of the faith go hand in hand with what's taken generally of ethics of medicine, certainly what transplant.
Dr. Ralph Meir is a clinical professor of medicine and nephrology at the University of Missouri, Kansas City School of Medicine. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.